listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ricky Gibbs from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurants Review section, NC Triangle Dining, a restaurant, food, and drink blog in Raleigh, Durham, Cary, and Chapel Hill, the Eat Raleigh blog, a local blog whose mission is to explore culture, history, passion, and people of Raleigh through its culinary delights, Triangle Food Blog, a hobby blog that helps locals keep up with the latest Triangle restaurant news, and Indie Week, a news, culture, and commentary site for Raleigh, Cary, Durham, and Chapel Hill. Before we get started, here is a quick reminder of what those N and O ratings mean. 5 stars are extraordinary, 4 stars are excellent, 3 stars are above average, 2 stars are average, and 1 star is fair. Our first article comes from Indie Week. As local restaurants reopen, an uneasy transition begins. This was written by Sarah Edwards and published on May 27th. It almost felt normal on Franklin Street this weekend, the first since the shutdown that restaurants around the state were permitted to have some sit-down dining. On the sidewalks, pockets of people gathered at outdoor cafe tables. But normal is relative, and the meaning of hospitality has also begun to change. At Tandem Restaurant in Carrboro on Saturday night, one staff member was dedicated entirely to sanitizing surfaces. As Motown streamed through the speakers, servers dressed in black waltzed outside. Only one diner ate inside, nudging the doors with their knees or hips and gracefully balancing blue and orange Dutch ovens. Between the sound of diners clinking glasses, there was a subtle soapy ambience as staff made brisk trips to the sanitation stations placed around the restaurant. Everyone had undergone new training. It was not only evident, if this was not already evidenced by staff caution, it could be discerned by the Count on Me NC certificate displayed prominently below the restaurant's 100 sanitation score. Going forward, any restaurant complying with the North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association's sanitation campaign will display a sign like that. The hospitality industry has always slightly resembled a ballet, and the new rhythm of dining appeared on the second night of Phase 2 to be a tense, tightly orchestrated affair. Not that you could tell from the groups seated outside. The patio was buzzing. One couple celebrated an anniversary, others were on dates. It was like a Tuesday night on a Friday night, says owner Emma Sabo. It's definitely better than the alternative of being closed. Sabo opened Tandem in 2016 with her partner, Chef Eunice Sabo, after years of working together in kitchens. Opening then was a risk rooted in a love of restaurant culture. Reopening now has been another leap of faith. You have to reinvent yourself in times like this so that you can keep moving, she says. You know, we have so many people that needed their jobs back. We wanted to help them too, hopefully at least provide them with an income. I doubt there is any profit for us. In North Carolina, as in other states across the country, the reopening question is fraught, and COVID-19 is by no means in the rearview mirror. On Saturday, the Department of Health and Human Services reported the highest one-day jump in cases yet, 1,107. But beyond acute epidemiological concerns, many restaurant owners say that opening at 50% capacity, as Governor Cooper's executive order requires, is just not feasible. At the end of April, 40 top restaurateurs around North Carolina, including Chidi Kumar, Gray Brooks, Andrea Rusing, and Scott Crawford, signed an open letter to Cooper stating that a partial opening would harm independent restaurants. Reopening this way, the letter stated, would reduce demand for the takeout services that many restaurants are relying on to make payroll, if not a profit. Many of the restaurateurs have intimate dining rooms where 6 feet distances are impractical or impossible. Brendan Cox, the owner of Oakleaf in Carrboro, says that weighing the restaurant's survival alongside public and employee health has been agonizing. Increased testing and contact tracing would make him consider opening, he says, but he questions whether the public appetite for dining out will ever be the same. We knew that we would not be the first restaurant to reopen, Cox says, and we don't believe that we will be the last one. My wife and I are having long and often circular conversations about what is morally and ethically right about reopening the restaurant, and I don't think we've settled on an answer. Across the country, more than 30 states have already reopened restaurants for dine-in service or are in the process of rolling back restrictions. In North Carolina, those restrictions vary by county. In Durham, Mayor Steve Shule has extended the stay-at-home order until June 1st. In Orange County, a softer reopening is at play. In contrast to the state's cap of 10 people per restaurant table, the county is limiting tabletops to 6, save for households. When it comes to the fine print choices, outdoor versus indoor seating, open versus closed windows, servers wearing gloves versus not wearing gloves, restaurants are largely left to make their own calls. At Small B&B Cafe, a family restaurant located in a folksy Pittsburgh farmhouse, ample outdoor space has given owners Lisa Piper and Dave Clark hope that they can safely serve guests without relying on indoor seating. While they have a small indoor dining area, they're planning to reserve it for people with special needs and direct able-bodied guests to seats outside until the weather turns, that is. If it rains, it'll hose us, Piper said cheerfully over the phone on Friday. Beside her, Clark was cooking the cafe's first reopening dinner. We'll have to see how it goes once temperatures here reach 100 degrees, she said. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're fully expecting that there's going to be a second wave that's going to turn around and box us. So, you know, who knows? At Il Palio, a white tablecloth Italian restaurant in Chapel Hill, an open floor plan has made spaced-out dining more feasible. Still, manager Annabelle Butler says that the restaurant is taking few chances. All tables are spaced 8 or 10 feet apart, and servers are wearing gloves in addition to masks. Hospitality no longer looks like giving diners what they want. As hospitality professionals, we really love saying yes to everything with the customer, she says, but we're trying to transition our mindsets into being more no people because it's keeping the safety of our employees and our guests. It's a hard mindset. Now we're having to be like, no, we have to keep our distance. Next, from the News and Observer, Cameron Bar, Trophy Tap, won't reopen. Here's our updated list of restaurant closings. This was published on May 29th and written by Drew Jackson. It's been more than 2 months since North Carolina closed restaurants and bars, and we're now starting to see the permanent impact on the industry. A number of popular restaurants have closed for good, and a survey from the North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association suggests more will follow. Restaurant owners have said that without government intervention, most independent restaurants would be wiped out. So far, some landlords have waived the rent, and some haven't. Some restaurants have secured federal loans, and some haven't been able to sign up. Here is a list of those the Triangle has already lost. Cameron Bar and Grill. After Memorial Day, this longtime Cameron Village restaurant announced it had closed permanently after a decade of business. Cameron Bar and Grill was one of the last remaining concepts of Echelon Experiences, which owns the Haymaker and Edwards Mill Bar and Grill. Chronic Tacos. California-based taco chain says that since it's been in the Triangle starting in 2016, it is now closing 3 locations in Wake Forest, Chapel Hill, and Raleigh. Chuck's Burgers. Downtown Raleigh burger joint owned by Chef Ashley Christensen. Some menu items will move onto the menu of Beasley's Chicken and Honey, which will expand into the space. Gateway Restaurant. After 3 decades, the beloved Gateway Restaurant announced it had closed for good in mid-May. Owned by the Rawrider family since the 1980s, Gateway had survived for years as one of the few businesses in Gateway Plaza. But just as the shopping center was finishing up a major renovation and adding new tenants, the coronavirus pandemic hit. Kippo's, popular Greek taverna, located in the heart of Chapel Hill's Franklin Street since 2013. Owner Georgios Bakastias plans to eventually reopen in a new location. Linus and Peppers, a Salisbury Street sandwich shop from local Icon Hospitality, known for homemade chips and a pork belly banh mi. Liquid State, located on Hillsborough Street near NC State's campus, this coffee shop and nighttime bar announced on Facebook it would close after 5 years. Lots of Stone Fired Pizza, located on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill for the past 3 years. Oakwood Cafe. For more than 20 years, this Cuban and Argentinian restaurant fed loyal fans in downtown Raleigh. Pharaoh's. Owned by Raleigh character George McNeil, the North Hills Pharaoh's has been sold after more than 20 years of serving classic hot dogs and hamburgers. Trolley Irish Pub. The Morrisville location of this Triangle Irish Pub has closed, but owners vow to keep the Briar Creek location open. Trophy Tap and Table. This two-story Wilmington Street restaurant is part of the Trophy Brewing family and was formerly Busy Bee Cafe. Famous for its tater tots, the owner said that they intend to put a new concept in the space. And Virgil's Original Taqueria, a taco shop and tequila bar from local Icon Hospitality, located in downtown Raleigh and known for nearly a dozen taco options. Next, from the Eat Raleigh blog, COVID-19 Takeout Series, Lady Luck. This was published the week of May 4th. Lady Luck is located at 222 Glenwood Avenue, Suite 103 in Raleigh. Their phone number is 984-664-9618. It is an awkward time to have a birthday, to celebrate as the entire globe is fighting a pandemic. But still, it's important to find joy in difficult places. So last week, my family celebrated me entering into my mid-30s, a day spent inside but still with a bunch of food. For the new Glenwood South spot, Lady Luck, things have been awkward as well. Just 3 days after opening their adventurous nightlife playground, a hybrid of a nightclub, restaurant, and cocktail bar, North Carolina's stay-at-home order was put into place. As many establishments were forced to do during the time, they pivoted. Leaning on their culinary chops and creative cocktail menu, Lady Luck found a way to export the fun of their space into takeout. Lady Luck's small plates offer some international flair with dishes like their bao buns and their pork belly empanadas. But maybe the most indulgent selection on the Lady Luck menu was the bone marrow. Dripping with oil, fat, and chimichurri, it was a delightfully savory treat to slather on top of bread. Not to be outdone by the more flashy and meatier dishes, the mushroom pasta was a powerhouse of flavor. Tender noodles, hints of spice, and plenty of that umami, a favorite of the night. To-go cocktail mixes offer a chance for local lushes to bring home Lady Luck's whimsical drink program, which, if we were honest, is probably better than most of the alcohol-related choices that has come home with you from Glenwood South. The Cereal Killer Mix was a curious combination of orange juice, coconut cream, and cold brew coffee, which worked together to bring a cereal-like taste with rum, especially after sprinkling Cocoa Puffs on top. For many of us, despite the current situation, there's still joy to be found. For me, there's joy in celebrating another year of life. And in many ways, that's what Lady Luck tries to do, find the joy and fun in life. So though we cannot experience that from within their location, we are still able to get that from their food and drinks. Lady Luck is located at 222 Glenwood Avenue, Suite 103 in Raleigh, and their phone number is 984-664-9618. And continuing with that same series from the Eat Raleigh blog, the COVID-19 Takeout Series, Lawrence Barbecue. This was published the week of April 6th. Lawrence Barbecue is a food truck. They do not have a physical location, but their website is Lawrence Barbecue, and the word barbecue is spelled out rather than abbreviated. So lawrencebarbecue.com. Their phone number is 919-539-6923. Even as our family approached approaches day 20 of our isolation at home, little has felt normal. Sure, we've been able to adjust to our new routines. My early morning starts in the home office, Sarah directing our son to do his morning chores, and trying to sit him down for something educational. However, even though our family has operated in this new reality over a dozen times now, it feels like we are operating in an entirely different world. 2020 was supposed to be the year barbecue took its rightful place at the pinnacle of Triangle's culinary scene. The new Q establishments chopping up mounds of smoked meats was the thing I was most excited for all year, all of which vanished as the reality of the pandemic changed our lives. The monotony of sandwich lunches at times has felt utilitarian, something strictly for substance rather than enjoyment. But when Chef Jake Wood's new Lawrence Barbecue announced that they were going to start serving from their downtown commissary kitchen, there was a sudden jolt of enthusiasm for a chef-prepared meal. The anticipation of a new restaurant felt so pleasantly normal. Arriving at home with a bag full of meats from Lawrence Barbecue for a fleeting moment, the crisis disappeared. It didn't even matter how the food tasted. Luckily, the food was terrific. The sticky ribs were the best thing I ate since the beginning of isolation. The experience even had me reconsider my previous unfavorable assessment of White Alabama barbecue sauce. With tragic stories of loved ones lost and grim news on the front lines being ever present, these days it's important to cling onto anything that's providing some joy, and I'm exceedingly grateful for the chefs, cooks, and other restaurant workers like the team at Lawrence Barbecue that are still out there making these kinds of moments possible. You can contact Lawrence Barbecue at lawrencebarbecue.com, and remember, it is not abbreviated, the word is spelled out. And you can get in contact with them by phone at 919-593-6923. Durham Food Hall at Liberty Warehouse opens up in May. This was published May 18th on NC Triangle Dining and written by Ron Nguyen. The Durham Food Hall is located at 530 Foster Street in Durham, and their phone number is 919-908-9339. Exciting to see the new Durham Food Hall begin opening up after a long wait. I popped in to grab some provisions, and the space is very light, airy, and sunny, a more upscale approach to food halls in this area. There's plenty of space, and seating in this food hall, along with a second-floor bar and lounge named the Riggs Lounge. While the Durham Food Hall will slowly bring vendors online, you can hit up the Durham Food Hall website to get your orders in. If you have multiple orders, they do recommend setting them up to be picked up at the same time, and there will be tables set up front while we work through this COVID-19 situation. Get excited, Durham. By the end of May, you'll have great new food options to nosh at. Here's a list of Durham Food Hall vendors and opening dates. Afters Dessert Bar, May 26th. Cookie Cates and Dessert Flights, giving you delicious small tastes of multiple desserts. You can try them all. Bower Bird Botanical Bar on May 27th. Seasonal blooms, thoughtfully sourced and artfully arranged to bring the outdoors in. Treat yourself or someone else. Everything Bagels, May 22nd. Gourmet bagels made in-house to create avant-garde bagel sandwiches and bagel burgers. Ex Voto Cochina Nihimal on May 29th. Heirloom corn and nematalization to produce items like tacos, tamales, and tostadas that celebrate both Mexican and regional agriculture. Liturgy Beverage, May 19th. Creative tea and coffee beverages inspired by both the growers and producers who provide the ingredients and the people who enjoy drinking them. Local Seafood Market and Oyster Bar, May 29th. Seasonal North Carolina seafood, fresh daily from the coast. Everything from oyster plates and simple ceviche to market fish you can take home and prepare yourself. Lula and Sadie's, May 29th. A seasonal southern eatery highlighting the cultural roots and bounty of produce our region provides, from scalloped potatoes and hot cakes to tomato salad, chicken pot pie, and eggnog pecan French toast. Napoli Pizza and Gelato, May 28th. Neapolitan-style wood-fired pizza with naturally risen dough and sweet gelatos and sorbets made from scratch. Old North Meats and Provisions, June 3rd. House-smoked meats, sausage, and charcuterie for deli sandwiches or sliced. They will also have a selection of local cheeses to enjoy at the hall or to make your own charcuterie and cheese board at home. The Durham Food Hall is located at 530 Foster Street in Durham, and their phone number is 919-908-9339. Also from NC Triangle Dining, CoQ South Point, Durham, a fun eatery for casual Asian fusion fare loaded with flavor. This was published March 8th and written by Ron Wynn. CoQ South Point is located at 245 East NC 54, Suite 105 in Durham, and their phone number is 919-251-9017. Way, way back in the day, when the food scene was just ramping up in the Triangle, the big foodie novelty at the time, maybe 10 years ago, was food trucks, offering up some unusual eats that you usually wouldn't find in sit-down restaurants. Food trucks blazed the trail for a lot of the more eclectic food offerings in the Triangle. The one food truck that stood out way back then was CoQ. A mashup of Mexican and Asian flavors, CoQ would be a great option after a day of drinking at popular breweries like Big Boss and Full Steam. And like many successful food trucks, CoQ made the move to brick and mortar, but with a twist. CoQ's first storefront, CoQ Namen, focused on Asian-style sandwiches called banh mi, and there was little menu overlap with the food truck. What? The food was still good, but there was a bit of a hole given it was missing some of my favorite food truck items. Fast forward another 4 years, and guess what? CoQ is opening up its second brick-and-mortar restaurant, and it's going back to its roots with the newer CoQ South Point. Inside CoQ South Point, you'll find a bright blue and cheery space with a modern, funky feel. Polished concrete floors, spherical paper and tin washtub lamps overhead, along with a very interesting blue triangular table in the corner. One wall has some graffiti on it in homage to their original food truck origins and design. Given their quick serve origins as a food truck, all of the CoQ restaurants are counter service to keep things moving along. There are a couple of LED panels overhead with a very simple menu consisting of wings, quesadillas, tacos, bowls, salads, and sliders. Maybe 20 or so items, including their customer favorite, duck fat tots. Once you order, you're given a playing card on a stand as your number, and the food is brought to your table. CoQ South Point also has a self-serve beer wall, you'll need a wristband to use it, along with a small refrigerated case of beers to enjoy with your meal. Don't miss checking out their restroom, which has a beautiful and colorful floral stencil on the walls. Over the course of a couple visits, I've had a chance to work through the CoQ South Point menu and enjoy some of my longtime favorites. The short rib sliders and duck fat tot combination is still irresistible. The sliders are served on sweet buns and loaded with braised beef, topped with quick pickles for acid, strips of red onion, and sprinkled with sesame seeds. It's a very Asian take on braised beef and delicious. The classic CoQ duck fat tots are super crisp, sprinkled with herbs, rosemary, and served up with sriracha aioli type dip for your pleasure. Another longtime favorite is the CoQ short rib quesadilla, stuffed with more short rib beef and gorgonzola cheese, a melty delight. Dabbed with some spicy sauce and topped with cilantro, the quesadilla is packed with flavor and filling. The bulgogi tacos are also wonderful, served on larger 6-inch tortillas and loaded with fresh lettuce, tender beef, spicy cheese sauce, and thin shards of red pepper. A nice Latin American spin on a Korean-flavored classic. Delish. The quality of ingredients and produce used by Kokyu is always top-notch and appreciated. Overall, as a longtime fan of Kokyu, it's been fun to see them evolve and expand over the years. They've stayed true to the eclectic flavors of Mexican Asian eats, and it's really nice to have their classic dishes in a more comfortable and stylish setting. We're talking street eats with heat and air conditioning. Woohoo! There's even a vintage boombox up by the counter, an homage to their food truck origins, when music would be blaring out the back of their truck. So a round of applause for a Durham classic, Kokyu. Keep on keeping it on and dishing out those great casual eats for the South Durham crowds. Kokyu at South Point is located at 245 East NC54, Suite 105 in Durham, and their phone number is 919-251-9017. And a few quick Friday fun food facts from the Triangle Food Blog, published Friday, June 5th. A quick update for all the Cafe Carolina fans around the Triangle. The Cameron Village location reopens today, Friday, June 5th. Their operating hours will be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. for the dining room, outdoor seating, delivery, and takeout. The Cary and Chapel Hill locations will reopen at a later date in June. Chubby's Tacos will have a soft opening next week of their third Triangle area location in the Heritage Publix Shopping Center at 1000 Forestville Road. Look for a Wednesday, June 10th soft opening. Over in Cary, a new franchise restaurant will be coming to Cary's Waverly Place soon called Chicken Salad Chick. They have 104 locations now in 12 southeastern states. No word on an opening date. Jane's Pharmacy in Hillsboro has closed permanently. And the inaugural Buxton Hall Barbecue Smoke Show Festival in Asheville has been canceled. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ricky Gibbs, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138.